Earlier this week at Parliament House in Canberra, something important happened. Two things, actually. The inaugural Parliamentary Friends of Australian Books and Writing met, and that cross-party collection of readers launched the first ever Australian Reading Hour. They did all that with the help of two of Australia's most successful writers, children's author and literacy campaigner Mem Fox. Hi, Mem.
Hello, Kate.
And novelist and historian Tom Keneally. Nice to talk to you again, Tom.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Mem Fox, why does reading need to have political friends? I mean, what does that even mean?
As far as political friends goes, it is not that they need to have friends in reading. They need to have friends in publishing. The problem is that there are all sorts of strange people in an organisation known as the Productivity Commission who seem to think that books are something like a Toyota or whatever, a car, or, you know, a pound of butter or whatever, that it can just be bought and sold without any copyright. If the publishing changed in the way that the Productivity Commission would like it to change, Australian publishing would go back to what it was in the 60s and 70s, where books just came in from overseas. They were very expensive for us, and they did not reflect our culture to us. Our culture would die. That is what would happen. Our reading culture would die. Children would not be able to find themselves in the books that they read. And I, as a female adult reader of Australian novels, would not be able to find myself in the books that I read about my country. That would cease to exist.
Now, I understand there were senior members from all sides of politics there at the launch of this Parliamentary Friends, Bill Shorten, Kevin Andrews, Tanya Plibersek, Tony Abbott, Anthony Albanese. But even with cross-party support, Tom, why put books and writing at the heart of politics? I mean, how much is it a political issue?
It's a great issue of heritage and the timbre, if I might use a $5 word, of the society we live in that, as Mem says, if we become a colony for other people's books, then we will go back to what Australian writing was like when I first wrote, published 52 years ago. We will have a rarity of Australian books. We will mainly read books from elsewhere. There will be the sinews and texture of the ecology of publishing will vanish. The world of festivals by which writers communicate with people, the world of publishing, which enables the writing and publishing of books, which, if there were no Australian copyright, would not appear. And I nominated a couple of books last night that have appeared and are due entirely to the health of the Australian publishing industry. Now, there is a proposal before Parliament that Australian copyright be, territorial copyright be swept away. The English aren't thinking of sweeping theirs away. The Americans aren't thinking of sweeping theirs away. And we are to be uniquely punished, and books are going to be treated, as Mem says, as interchangeable toothbrushes. And so thank God they've decided to pause before proceeding with the Productivity Commission's ideas, which are extreme economic rationalists. And it was delightful for us to see so many politicians there, enchanted by Mem and persuaded by her arguments, and I hope by mine.
So, Mem, as you say, this Parliamentary Friends is about the book industry. If we talk instead about Australian readers, the Reading Hour was officially launched at Parliament House in Canberra. So what's the thinking behind that initiative? What does it aim to do?
Well, the Reading Hour, I think, is to remind us. It's like the Earth Hour. It's the equivalent of the Earth Hour, where we turn off our lights for an hour a year to remind ourselves about climate change and reliable energy and wasting the world's resources. The Reading Hour is an hour to focus upon the absolute heaven of reading, the joy of it, the experiences, the people you meet, the relaxation, that it's just a divine thing to do, and people, I think, don't make enough time for it. I think that when, actually, I say this to children, Kate, you know, if people don't like reading, they're reading the wrong book. I find myself reading the wrong book quite often. And if it's a very, if it's a book that's well written but not for me, then I will leave it in an airport with a little note that says, I finished this book, I hope you enjoy it, and I just leave it on a bench. If it's a badly written book that I happen to have picked up, which may have received some attention, then I do leave that in the airport rubbish bins because I don't think anybody else should suffer it. I think that we really do need to remember that reading is a way of escaping from whatever we're doing in our own lives. You cannot be tense while you're reading. You cannot be stressed.
Oh, what about with a good thriller?
Exactly. You know, it's just, you know, the tension, you can be tense because, you know, I've just finished The Dry by Jane Harper, and there were nights when I thought, no, I can't read another page. I cannot go on with this book tonight. I'm just going to leave it until tomorrow night because it was too tense. But you can't be stressed while you're reading. And really, we are very stressed. I'm stressed a lot of the time, very, very busy. But as soon as I'm in a book, apparently, research tells us now, 68% less stress when we're reading. Now, that's a pretty good reason for picking up a book.
Well, and as you say, there's that question of choice, knowing what to read. So given that there's this Australian Reading Hour encouraging people to set aside 1 hour and read, Tom, I'm wondering how important libraries are in this process.
Oh, yes, I think libraries are one of the great items of culture, the free lending library. I remember a Persian kid telling me that when she first went, she and her mother thought it was a bookstore and they tried to find the littlest book. And the miracle of being able to go in and take expensive books home with you and use them. This is one of the great items of British and Scottish progressivism in the 19th century, and thank God we've got them. And of course they're changing now. The digital age extends their reach into learned journals, into all manner of information, and so. In the local government elections recently in New South Wales, I asked all the independents around our way, were they, what was their position on libraries because of their essential purpose in our community.
Well, and so important to access and the sort of equity issues when it comes to reading. So I wonder what both of you think then is at stake by having a reading hour. I mean, is it literacy or is it something less tangible, Mem?
Well, for me, it's both. It's literacy because I was a university academic in literacy for 24 years at Flinders University. So, of course, I care about literacy tremendously, which is one reason why I rewrite a book, you know, 42 times over 2 years to get it right, so that it does help to make children literate. So there is that side of it. There's definitely the literacy side of it. But really, it's the joy of it. I get tired of people talking about the importance of reading. It is heaven. That's the message that I want to get across. It is just heaven. Remember it. You may not have picked up a book recently. Remember what it was like when you last read. It was divine. Do it again.
Where do you like to read, Mem? How do you actually physically like to read?
I live in an old house with very big bedrooms, and there's a couch in the bedroom, and it's an old couch, and I fit very comfortably onto it with my knees over one arm of the couch and my head on the other arm, and that's the place where I love to read. I love it.
What about you, Tom? Where do you like to read?
I like to read just about anywhere, in the office and so on. And I've got a library up in Sydney at 280 Pitt Street, and it's called the Tom Keneally Centre. You can borrow books from there if you want. And it's I use it a bit too. So I basically, there's nowhere I don't read, including some venues I would rather not mention to your polite listeners. There's no function of. But above all, I read. When I walk, 7 kilometres every day.
You read as you walk? How? Don't you trip over things?
No, I go into the bush, North Head. You find me ranting around North Head and listening to books I want to read, both fiction and non-fiction, and the books I should have read. I did the whole Conrad's obscure books. I've done all Dostoevsky, including his obscure book on gambling. And at the moment, I'm reading Simon C. Bagmontefiore's book on the Romanovs, who make Stalin look like a gentleman. But I have to say that I think the reading hour is very much geared to introducing us and celebrating our stories. Australian stories, and I believe there's a bit of an emphasis in that direction to indicate to people that there's a whole industry out there, printers, graphic artists, booksellers, editors, copy editors,
agents,
and the original hapless creators like Mem and me,
illustrators,
wonderful people. And if we lose our publishing industry, we're going to lose a lot of the beauty of this life, because I think the graphic design of books in Australia and the production design is of quite a high standard, once again, very much a celebration of life and of Australian life, more than anything was when I started writing, when there were no festivals, where book covers were crappy, where the binding was awful, and all the rest, and our souls were empty of our own mythology.
Well, it's a $2 billion industry, in case the Productivity Commission is interested in economics.
You've both just described something that's a very vibrant cultural and social and imaginative economy as well. So I've been speaking to writers Tom Keneally and Mem Fox, ambassadors for the Australian Reading Hour. Thank you so much for speaking to us here on Books and Arts.
Pleasure, Kate. Thank you.
Great program, Kate. Good on you.